We're in Shir Kaleah in the Parsha on Parshat Yitro. It's a very exciting Parsha. It's the Parsha where we receive the Aseret HaDibrot, where the seven heavens open up and we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the best ability that a human can see. We didn't see an image, as Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes in Sefer Devarim, but we saw the greatest vision possibly that we could achieve. And we receive the Word of God, we receive the Aseret HaDibrot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the first source on your sheets. This is what we're going to be focusing on. This is what one of the primary things to be focusing on this week. Anoch v'deber Elohim et kol adrim ha'ila limor, Anoch Hashem Elokecha she'ozitichah me'eretz Mitzrayim. And what I would like to actually do together today in Shir Klali, as also the name sort of implies as well, is to take that broader scope, that broader look, both at the Parsha, thank you, and also at the interrelationship with this Parsha and the other Parshot in Shemot and the other parts of history in Torah. When we talk about the Dibrot, when we talk about what we refer to as the commandments, and we will rework that term because commandments may not be the best term for the Dibrot. How do we refer to the Dibrot? I've already done it myself a few times since we started. How do we refer to the Dibrot? What's the phrase? Aseret HaDibrot, or in English, the Ten Commandments, right? We emphasize that. We emphasize that it's the Aseret HaDibrot. We emphasize that in English, again, not the best translation, and we'll work on it, the Ten Commandments. But there's an inherent understanding that ten is essential to what the Dibrot are about, and that's why we call them the Aseret HaDibrot. And if so, we have to understand why and how the number 10 is essential to the Dibrot. We're not actually going to talk about that today. What we're actually going to focus on is other instances, other stages in the historical process where things have been specifically 10, because all tens in Judaism, all numbers that exist within Torah, if it's that number and there are others with the same number, they have to line up, they have to connect. And we're going to try to understand in a deeper way a critical piece of the historical process that gets us to the Aseret HaDibrot, and we'll give more content to the Aseret HaDibrot by putting it within that context. There are three tens as they're a part of the historical process leading up to Matan Torah, leading up to the Aseret HaDibrot, that we're going to examine. One of them was pretty recent in Chumash. What system of ten did we just experience recently in Chumash? No hands, it's college, just call it out. The Makot, right? So we have the Aseret HaDibrot. Going a little bit backward, we have the ten Makot. And if we go all the way back, there's also a really, really important system without which none of us would be here. Not often thought of as 10, Chazal pick up on it and emphasize it, that it is also a system of 10. Yeah. Excellent. What's your name? Batsheva. So Batsheva's quoting Pirkei Avot, which is what we're going to do as well. Which says, in source number 3, Be'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. Almost word for word. That was excellent. Right? That the world is created, say Chazal. In the Mishnah. That the world was created in 10 ma'amarot. And we're going to examine this historical process, taking us from the 10 ma'amarot, again, referred to here as the Asarah Ma'amarot, even when you quoted it off the top of your head, the Asarah Ma'amarot, that's how we think of it, that's how we refer to it. The Aseret HaMakot and the Aseret HaDibrot. Creation, the speech that creates, to the Makot, the plagues that destroy Mitzrayim, to the 10 Dibrot in our parasha. First, let's validate the parallel, and then we'll explore the process. So in order to understand the parallel, what we're going to first do is take out one of them, the 10 Makot. We'll come back to them very soon. The Maharal is the person to turn to whenever one wants to examine the meaning behind numbers. He often pulls all the disparate places that they appear all together, discusses the meaning of the number, discusses the meaning of the connectivity. And the Maharal says something incredible. He says that these line up. Let's start with the Marot and the Dibrot, and then we'll talk about the Makot, which is actually where the Maharal talks about it. If you take a look at the Ma'amarot, so where did the Ma'amarot start? It says Chazal, says the Mishnah, that the world was created in 10 Ma'amarot. Where in Bereshit does it imply that there would be Ma'amarot? What does it say again and again and again? Milashon Ma'amar. Bereshit. Thank you. Vayomer. Vayomer Elokim Yihyor. Vayomer Elokim Yarkiah. Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. There's only one problem that the Gemara picks up on. The Gemara points out, source number 4, before the underline, Havinu Vayomer Bereshit Tishahavu. Chazal say, well, that's nice, but I just went and opened a Chumash, and I counted the number of Vayomers in Bereshit, and there are only 9. So, are there 9 or are there 10? Because the Mishnah says that there's 10, but I count 9. There are different understandings of how to get to 10. The Gemara resolves it as follows. Bereshit nami ma'amar hu. Chazal understand that one of the Asara Ma'amarot is the first word, that Bereshit bara Elokim, that initial act of creation, is counted amongst one of those 10 Ma'amarot. That's the first of the Ma'amarot. And that's how we get to 10. Now let's start lining them up and seeing what we find. The first of the Asara Ma'amarot is Bereshit bara Elokim. What's the first of the Aseret HaDibrot? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The first one of these systems is always pulling back toward recognizing that origin, recognizing the source that everything comes from. It's always coming back to the Creator. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Bereshit bara Elokim. Interestingly, also in both cases, they're simply statements. While all of the other ones of the Aseret HaDibrot are explicit commands. The first one is understood to be a command of Emunah, but what are the words? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. So too, Bereshit bara Elokim, it's a statement of an origin point of all of reality. That's what the first one is about. That's what number 1 is about in general. Coming back to that origin point. Let's go on to the second of each of them. What's the second of the Dibrot? Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. Don't block yourself from being able to see me with clarity. What's the first one of the Vayomers, the second of the Asara Ma'amarot? Vayomer Elohim? Yihyor. Again, the two paralleling each other. God says, let there be light. A light, by the way, which is not simple physical light. It couldn't have been simple physical light. Where do we get, before electricity, where do we get physical light from? Sun, keep going.
Candle.
Moon, stars. We didn't have a fire at the beginning. That didn't exist yet. That was created, that's why we have, it's part of Havdalah Motzei Shabbat, which we can learn more about at the Havdalah event tonight. We'll be talking about why Havdalah includes Eish. But we didn't even have fire yet. It was sun, moon, stars. What day were those created on? Four. So the light, and Chazal discussed this, the Rishonim bring it up, Chazal discussed this, the light of that first day was a supernal light coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a transcendental light. It was a light with a totally different place. And so what's the second of the Aseret HaDibrot? This is the second Ma'amar, second of the Aseret HaDibrot is, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. It's phrasing, don't serve other gods, as don't block the light coming from my face, basically. Don't block my face. Don't block your experience of being able to see me. Don't cut off. Don't block that ability to see me in this world. And on and on and on. Creating a direct linkage and relationship between the Asara Ma'amarot and the Aseret HaDibrot. The meaning of that we'll fill in later. Now, I claimed, and so does the Ma'aral, so I'm in good hands, that the Ten Makot also fit into that paradigm. The problem is that when you look at the Makot, it doesn't really work. What's the first of the Makot? Dam? Origin? Source? Godliness? Second of the Makot? Svardeya? Frogs and light? Creates a problem. The Maral says the following. They are parallel, but for some reason that we will discuss later, for some reason by the Aseret HaMakot, the whole system had to be flipped. The system works backwards. And they line up perfectly if you start from 10 and go down. What's the 10th plague? Makat Bechorot. Well, now we've got something to talk about. Makat Bechorot, which is the destruction of all other sense of first, of oneness, of origin, except for godliness. It's the response to that. It's the destruction of all firsts other than God. What's the second makah? Sorry, the ninth makah. Choshech, which is really parallel to Or. So much so that when the Egyptians experienced that darkness, the Jews experienced light. And many of the Sfarim point out that the darkness and light were actually one and the same. The Jews experienced it as light, but because of the lowliness of the Egyptians, they experienced it as darkness. But once you flip them around, all three become parallel. Now again, we're not discussing the meaning of the 10 that unifies them, but the fact that they're all systems of 10, they all had to line up. That's how Torah works. Now, seeing how they line up, with the outstanding questions of why do they line up, and why are the Aseret HaMakot flipped, we can now start to discuss, having that as a basis, knowing that they line up in that way, what's the meaning of the lining up of the process from the Asara Mamarot to the Aseret HaMakot to the Aseret HaDibrot? Questions, thoughts, comments at this point? Do we understand the connectivity and therefore the question? Is anything not clear? Good? You can even raise a hand. No? Good, okay. So let's go a little bit forward. We're going to do the same thing that we did before. To understand the nature of this process, we are once again going to take out the 10 makot. Because again, that seems to be the outlier. Let's figure out why it fits back in and why it's different. So we're first going to focus on the Asara Mamarot and the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, already inherently, intuitively, these two seem to be linked. Just even looking at it on the board, what connects the Asara Ma'amarot and the Aseret HaDibrot? Simple pshat, don't think too deeply, just look at the words, take them in. What connects these two?
They both have to do with speech?
Yes. They both have to do with speech. Is that where everyone else was going? Yeah? It's interesting that two out of the three processes are actively engaging the concept of speech. 10 sayings as opposed to the 10 dibrot. Speech seems to be key here. But while speech unifies these two processes, it also differentiates them. Because the word amira is different from the word dibor. Again, don't need to quote Chazals, don't go too deep. Just think about it for a second. Think about the meaning of the words. What's the difference between amira and dibor? What do they mean? How do they distinguish from one another? How would you define in English amira?
Say.
To say or to speak. What's dibor? What? Whole other realm to talk about. When we get to Sefer Devarim, we'll talk about it, which we won't get to because it's always during the summer, but the Shema online. We're going to get to it. I mean, we got to it in the meter show. But you're 100% right. But just, again, on a simple level, how would you define dibor? So that's more like saying, but it feels different, no? How is it different? How is to say... Right, so Chazal talk about that it's harsher. I was trying to veer away from Chazal in this particular instance. That's 100% correct. But... Omer. What did he say? What did she say? Speech exists in a vacuum. Speech is something that's said. Dibor, ledaber. You're always being ledaber. Im. It inherently implies that there's a relationship aspect going on. With the ma'amarot, with amira, it's simply saying, but the implication of dibor is speaking with. One is one way, and the other's communication. Dibur is dependent on there being a recipient for what is being said, a participant in the communication. For the Asara Ma'amarot to come about, for the creation of the world to happen, for those 10 sayings to create the world, to have the Asara Ma'amarot, there doesn't have to be a recipient. There doesn't have to be a response. God says, Vayomer Elokim, Yihi Or, everybody? Vayihi Or, there was light. Is there any response there? Has anything happened? No, God says, and it is. Vayomer Elokim, Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. By the Dibrot, the meaning of the Dibrot in and of themselves is contingent on there being a recipient, is contingent upon us accepting them, is contingent upon there being somebody hearing them, listening to them, relating to them, and being engaged in that conversation. And while Hashem, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes forward and gives over the Aseret HaDibrot, when do the Aseret HaDibrot take effect really? What do we have to do? Na'aseh v'nishma. Right? It's so fundamental. First, we say na'aseh v'nishma, meaning we respond that we are accepting it upon ourselves. And we're going to do them. Na'aseh, we are going to do them. We're accepting them upon ourselves. We're responding to that. There's a relationship aspect to the Aseret HaDibrot. And if Klal Yisrael doesn't accept the Aseret HaDibrot, they won't work. Not only will they not work, there are no Asara Ma'amarot. You'll say to me, well, how's that possible? Because the Aseret HaDibrot took place a really long time after the Asara Ma'amarot. So we have many psukim and chazals which emphasize this point, that the world without Matan Torah, before we get to that point, sorry, that a world without Matan Torah is a world empty of any relationship. Right? Matan Torah, before we go forward to linking the two, the world without Matan Torah is a world without relationship. What Dibur gives to the world, the Aseret Dibur gives to the world, is a reality of relationship in the context of the world. It's a world that it goes from being a world that responds automatically to God's statements of creation to a world where God has partners in working with him to get the world to its destination. It requires somebody on the end, it requires somebody to hear and accept. We become partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fulfillment of creation through the Aseret HaDibrot. Now again, had we not accepted that, had we not engaged in that relationship, had we not accepted that relationship, had we not engaged in that conversation, so to speak, then it would have nullified the Asara Ma'amarot. From where do we know that? So, start with the Pasuk. Source number 5, from Yirmiyahu. Ko Amar Hashem, God says, Im lo briti, if not for my brit, if not for my covenant, says God. What's the covenant referring to? Matan Torah. If not for Matan Torah, if not for my covenant, Im lo briti, Yomam valayla, Chukot shamayim va'aretz lo samti. I never would have created the physical world without there being a brit. The world, the creation of the world, was contingent on this brit, was contingent on the acceptance of the Aseret HaDibrot. There's an even stronger source where it's emphasized in creation itself. Some of you may be familiar with this pasuk in Rashi. Sources number 6 and 7. At the end of the sixth day, it says, "Vayara Elokim et kol asher asa." He saw everything that he created on the 6 days. "Vine tov meod," and it was very good. "Vayera vayloker yom ha shishi." It was the sixth day, and the Pashtanim and the Mefarshim and Chazal all deal with the fact why yom ha shishi. Every other day says yom rishon, yom sheni, yom shlishi. What's ha shishi? The sixth day. One of the explanations given by Chazal that's quoted by Rashi in source number 7, Davar Acher, Yom HaShishi, Kulam Tluyim Ve'omdim Ad Yom HaShishi. All of creation was waiting, was held in abeyance until the sixth day. It didn't have any kiyum. It didn't have any sustainability until the sixth day. What's the sixth day? Hu shishi b'sivan. That's the sixth of Sivan. Hamuchan lematan Torah, which was prepared for matan Torah. Chazal explicitly stating that the ten ma'amarot, creation itself, is dependent upon us accepting the Aseret HaDibrot. If we as Klal Yisrael had not accepted the Aseret HaDibrot, then retroactively, the world would have had no meaning, no ability to sustain itself, and would have ceased to exist. The physical world is dependent upon Matan Torah and our acceptance of Matan Torah. Assuming that this is true, we now have to answer the why. Why are the Asara Ma'amarot? Why is creation? Why is the physical world dependent upon the Aseret HaDibrot and our acceptance of the Aseret HaDibrot? What's the nature of the relationship between these two where the Ma'amarot are dependent on the Dibrot? Here's the key. Stick with me and ask if it's not clear. The ten Ma'amarot create the physical world. God creates all of the physical world through these ten ma'amarot, through these asara ma'amarot. They create a reality of chol. They create a physical world. In order for the vessels of the world, in order for the vessels of chol to continue to exist, they need to receive their content of Kodesh. The content of Kedusha that fills the vessels of Chol, of the physical world, are the Aseret HaDibrot. That's the content of Kedusha that validates the physical world, that gives it its content, that gives it its meaning, and therefore validates its existence. It's a door alarm, it's fine. The physical world are the vessels of Chol, and the Dibrot are the content of Kedusha. A world without Torah, a world without the Aseret HaDibrot cannot last. The world was created on condition that the Jewish people accept the Torah. The creation is a creation on condition. On condition of this, of what we're doing, what we're having with Kabbalat HaTorah in this week's parasha. What is the content of that Kedusha? The content of Kedusha that is meant to exist within the vessels of Chol is the relationship between God and the Jewish people. That's the element of Kedusha that sustains reality. Implied by Dibrot. It's the Dibor, it's the communication, it's the relationship, it's the God giving over the Dibrot, but it being Naseh v'Nishma, it being a Dibor, it being connectivity, the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, that is the content of Chol that validates the existence of creation. Questions, thoughts, comments to this point? Yeah.
For Yirmiyahu, how do you know that the brit that
we're
talking about is Matan Torah?
That's how Chazal understand it, but Im lo briti, the most fundamental brit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the world is the brit of Matan Torah. I can find you a source in Chazal, because there are there, and I've seen them before. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I am happy to give you more direct sources. But you certainly have Yom HaShishi and the Rashi there and the Chazal there to support that would be the connectivity between the two. Yeah?
So what's the whole thing that God created the world? But the whole thing that God created the world because he's Tov and he wants to give the Tov to other people. So the recipients of the Tov then, can they be people other than the Israel?
100%. And when non-Jews fulfill the Shevet Mitzvot B'nai Noach, which are prescribed by the Torah, then they can link into that reality as well. but that primary relationship is between God and the Jewish people. It doesn't deny the fact that others can't partake, either, we don't encourage it, but either by conversion, or by keeping the Shabbat Mitzvah, which is totally fine and great, but it's still, that's linking into that reality of Torah, which is established by the relationship between God and the Jewish people through the Torah. Yeah?
So the whole idea that, like, creation, like, is dependent upon, like, the start of the world is, like, kind of confusing for me, just because, like, creation went on for so long without the start of the world being there, and also, like, relationships with Hashem did exist prior to the start of the world. Like Hashem had a relationship with Abraham, who spread it to other people, yet there was no start of the world.
Excellent.
Given yet.
So, the fact that there was reality until then, that Chazal said, that it was all waiting to see what would, meaning it was willing, creation, so to speak, was willing to wait it out till the sixth of Sivan when the Torah was given, and if it happens, great, and if not, back to the drawing board. Fine. Right? But that's Chazal. What, it doesn't, this concept doesn't deny the fact that individuals were able to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu up until that point. Of course Abraham did, and of course Yitzchak did, and of course Yaakov did, and of course the Yemahut did, and of course the Nehu Antonim Mitzrayim did. Of course. And Noach did, for that matter. Right? Many people over the course of history. But the concept of having a nation that hears God's word and is reflective of God in this world, and that they are the people who, connecting to God, are validating reality and then bringing it to its conclusion, that's necessary. Because if the world was just sitting there and spinning on its wheels, that's not what the reality was created for. It was created to go in a direction, to reach a purpose. We are the people who reflect that purpose by keeping the Torah and by leading the entire world to its ultimate destination. In the context of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Does that make sense? Okay. Awesome. There's more to talk about in terms of the definition of Kiddusha, which needs a shir unto itself, and that we might actually get to in Parshat Kiddushin, because that happened during the semester. And I would love to talk about it, but it needs a shir unto itself. But it's a very deep concept that does need to be explored more. Why is it that... What do I have to back up to say that the definition of Kedusha is relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? But we will, I hope, talk about it more in Parsha Kedusha during the semester in Shir Kolei. How do we define Kedusha better? How do we understand that better? How do we get to that end point? Where do we see that in the text? Presuming that's the case, that's the goal of, is to fill the vessels of Chol with Kodesh, and that Kodesh is our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Doing okay on time. Starting on time helps so much. Okay. What's missing? What haven't we addressed yet? The Makot! How does that play in? And why are they backwards? How do the Aseret HaMakot play into this story, to this narrative, to this system? HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world with Asara Mamarot. And for generations, the Jewish people don't rise. And over the course of that time, a lot of really bad things happen. Adam gets kicked out of Gan Eden. Dor HaMabul, the whole world gets wiped out for this, since we're going on the Dor HaMabul. Dor HaPalaga with the Tower of Babel. The rise of idolatry. Till we reach the height of destructiveness. A nation which wholly embodies Tum'ah. Wholly embodies the antithesis of Kedusha. And that nation is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the apex of Tum'ah. And when we get to the height of Mitzrayim, what happened over the course of history is that the vessels, the empty vessels of Chol that got created in the Asara Mamarot, became clogged up with Tum'ah. There was no space for that Kedusha. The physical world was a world that was permeated with Tum'ah. And it needed to be removed. There was an infestation of Tum'ah in reality, and we needed to get rid of it. Now, let's take a house, for example, for a minute. Let's say you have a house that's infested. Lo aleinu. Not fun, right? So you have a house that's infested, or something that needs to be cleaned. How do you start? Do you jump right into the middle of the dirt and move out? Or do you start on the outside and slowly work your way toward the center of the problem? anybody ever cleaned anything before? Not judging anybody in the room, but like, we've all cleaned something. Have you ever tried to tackle your room when it's been a disaster? Have you all been neat since you were born? Right? Do you start and like gather everything and suddenly magically it all goes away? Or do you like start with one corner and then make your way across until you get across your room and finally put it away? That resonated with people. Okay, fine. Cleaning your room. 101. That's what we're here for. Life tips. Right? You start on the outside. You start at the perimeters. And you start moving toward, if you're talking about those rooms and your rooms are what I think that they probably look like, you work toward the eye of the storm, right? When everything started, when you dumped out that one suitcase in the middle of the floor and then never dealt with it for 3 or 4 weeks, right? You work toward the eye of the storm. Bringing it back to our Torah concepts, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to purify the world, to remove that tum'ah, he starts from the outside and works his way toward the center, works his way toward the core, works his way to that which is most important. So the Aseret HaMakot go in opposite order, because it doesn't start from the first, it doesn't start from the core, it doesn't start from the origin. The purification process starts from the farthest space out and goes in opposite order, working to the greatest level of purity that's required. The deepest level of purification that could possibly exist in reality is to reinstate a clarity that God is one and is the source of everything. And so we work our way to Makat B'chorot. We don't start at Makat B'chorot. So the vessels of Chol are created with the Ten Ma'amarot. Humanity clogs those vessels with Tumah over the course of history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in preparation for the birth of the Jewish people who are going to be His nation and reflect His oneness in the world, He then purifies those vessels through the Aseret HaMakot, which are focused on Mitzrayim, and the Jews only exist on the negative space of that. There's no direct miracle for the Jews. The goal is to crush Mitzrayim, and on a deeper level, to crush the Tum'ah of Mitzrayim. And to purify those vessels. To allow then for the birth of the Jewish people who will reflect His oneness in the world, who will be the people who connect to Him, because that's what Kedusha is. Walk their way to Matan Torah. And receive the Aseret HaDibrot, which can then fill those vessels with Kedusha. That concept of what the Makot are doing is emphasized by the Pasuk, and the Zohar in Chazal explains what the Pasuk means, which requires explanation in and of itself. Take a look in Source 8. It says in Yeshayahu, in regards to the Makot, V'nagaf Hashem et Mitzrayim, Mazeh Lingof, Mazeh Negef, like a maka, to hit. It's the Makot. God gave the Makot to Mitzrayim. Then look at the next two words. Nagof virapo. Mazel lirpot rapo? Rofe?
To heal.
Well, is it a makar or is it a refuah? Which one is it? The answer is it's both. And that's how the Zohar understands this pasuk. Source number 9, Vanagaf Hashem Mitzrayim, Nagof Rapo, Naguf Lemitzrayim, Virape Li Yisrael. He was destroying the Tumah of Mitzrayim and repairing the vessels for Klal Yisrael to be able to bring content to those vessels. That's how that line of the Zohar is understood by some. But certainly, it's a beautiful explanation of the Pasuk, that at the same time is damaging Mitzrayim, but it's healing the vessels. At the same time. The last few weeks I got so nervous. I was like, we'll move faster, but now we've time to do everything. Okay. Do you want to go that far? Let's go a little bit further for the last 10 minutes that we have. Okay? Questions, thoughts, comments until this point. This really kind of beautiful progression of the creation of the physical world, creation of Kol, creating those vessels, then becoming Tameh over time, God purifying them from the outside in, and then us receiving the Aseret HaDibrot and bringing Kedusha to that Kol. And the responsibility that comes along with that. The fact that by receiving the Torah this week, by receiving the Torah and the Aseret HaDibrot, that what we're meant to be doing is engaging in an active relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's what we're here to do. It's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that validates reality existing every minute of every day. We're meant to be in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Aseret HaDibrot and through the Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah.
Is Klal Yisrael getting stuck in Egypt? Because it's in like the Brit and it seems to be part of the framework. Is that like God saying that Tuma is necessary, or is that God saying this is the trajectory that is naturally going to happen?
Chicken and egg, I don't know if the world was already headed there and already there, and that's why he told Avram that or not. I do know that many Mefarshim, and it certainly makes the most sense to me, understand that the reason why God was able to tell Avraham, your children will be strangers in a strange land and will be in servitude there, God can't say they will choose to do bad things and be punished, because that takes away free will. And the presumption there is, regardless of how we got to there, I don't know how we got to that point and when God spoke to Avraham, and whether it was always necessary or it was a response to what had happened until Avraham Avinu. But either way, to my knowledge, the vast majority of Mefarshim, Rishonim, Achronim understand that God is saying, no, this is not a punishment for Bnei Israel. It's a natural process that needs to happen to bring the world to its ultimate destination. That there was no sin that the Shibud of Mitzrayim was coming to atone for, per se. Some will link it to things, Seder. But the majority intended, the only way that God could have said that to Avraham Avinu that far in advance was because this is part of the historical process, was that the world was headed in this direction, it was in a place of Tum'ah, and this was the way to give birth to a people who would be able to bring it out of that place of Tum'ah. Now, we just said the receiving of the Torah and the receiving of the Aseret HaDibrot, and we can say the two things in the same breath because we have an inherent sense that the Aseret HaDibrot somehow have a place of prominence. Somehow. We know that from the fact that in many shuls, the minhag is to stand up for the Aseret HaDibrot like we do for certain parts of Torah. We talk about the Aseret HaDibrot like they're really, really important all the time. It's questionable. Luckily, you're not really allowed to put them up in a shul, but I don't even know exactly how people do it. Anyway, on our own, you have the Aseret HaDibrot to reflect the fact that the Torah is in here, as though that we're the whole Torah. And the Rishonim and Achronim want to discuss the fact that that all of the 613 mitzvot are, in fact, contained within the Aseret HaDibrot. Meaning, we don't say that one has prominence over the other, and there are halachic ramifications that, again, where one can put the Aseret HaDibrot, the fact that Aseret HaDibrot are no longer part of formal davening in the morning, because of the implication that that is primary and the Torah is secondary. There are halachic ramifications to making sure that we don't get confused and think that the Aseret HaDibrot are, quote-unquote, more important. But then what's the difference between the Aseret HaDibrot and the rest of Torah? So the Rishonim and Achronim understand that all of Torah is contained within the Aseret HaDibrot. Therefore, not putting primacy of one over the other, it's saying that it's all there. As we hear the Aseret HaDibrot, all of Torah is contained within them. We'll fast forward a little bit, because I want to get some of this in. It's good stuff. If we take the Aseret HaDibrot then, just like the whole Torah can be brought back into the Aseret HaDibrot, so too can all of the Aseret HaDibrot find their origin in the first Dibor. The source and the root of all things is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It all comes back to that. To Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's the starting point, and all of Torah emanates from Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Sheyotzicha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Bring it back even further, coming back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we just said the whole point of reality is that what? We should accept the Torah and be in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even hear how it's framed. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What does Elokecha mean? I am your God. It's a very personal Dibor. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. God's emphasizing in that the Aseret HaDibrot are about relationship, and that everything is going to stem from the relationship between me and you. What is the content of that relationship? The Aseret HaDibrot and the Torah. It's all coming from there. But it all goes farther and farther back to an origin, to a deeper, deeper origin. In the same way that it can go back to Anochi, and there are beautiful chazals about what Anochi means, particularly one in Shabbat, Kuf Yamad Aleph, which talks about why it uses Anochi instead of Ani. And just like we can go back to Anochi, what do we have left to go back to? The Aleph. We can go all the way back to the Aleph itself. That everything is emanating, everything is coming out, everything is coming from that Aleph. So coming back to our paradigm here, how is that contrasted to the Asara Mamarot? On the most simple and basic level. Louder? It's a bet. The Asara Mamarot start with a bet, and the Aseret HaDibrot start with an Aleph. Now you could say that that's nice, and maybe it has meaning, maybe it doesn't, and the answer is you're right, until Chazal say it has meaning. And Chazal do say it has meaning. There's an incredible Midrash Chazal, which say that all of the letters were being gone through to figure out who was going to be the first letter of the Sefer Torah. Who's going to be the first letter of the Torah? And Aleph was going to get it. But Bet got it. And God said, not to worry, Aleph. You didn't get the first letter of the Torah, but instead you will have the first letter of the Aseret HaDibrot. Now, fend for yourself and figure out what that means. Right? That's not what the Medrash says, I'm saying that. Right? What does that mean? That there's clearly a contrast here. They were both struggling for the first of the Ma'amarot. And somehow as a consolation prize, the Aleph gets the Aseret HaDibrot. What's the distinction between the two? Now, we're moving a little bit quicker here to fit in before Mincha. If you take a look at the beginning of creation, it's an incredible thing. Look at the opening paragraph. It's in source number 2 on your sheets. Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. Ba'aretz ha-etat tov avohu, v'choshech al-pnei tzahom, v'urech Elokim merachefet al-pnei ha-mayim, v'yom Elokim ihi or, v'yihi or. Follow with me now. Vayar Elokim et ha-or ki tov, v'yavdel Elokim bein ha-or, uvein ha-choshech. Vayikra Elokim la-or, yom, v'la-choshech kara laila. V'yihi erev, v'yihi voker. What am I emphasizing here? That's clear in the text. Opposites or dichotomy. There's a lot of systems of two, even in the very first words of creation. Going back, what are the first words? Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. It goes back to the first pasuk. Because that's what Bet is about. Bet is about multiplicity, dichotomy, two. A lack of recognition of a oneness. That's what the physical world is. The physical world tricks us into thinking that it's a reality of dichotomy and that nothing unifies that dichotomy. That nothing unifies that push and pull. And Bet is the origin of creation because a physical world gives rise to me and you and you and you and you and here and there and lots of stuff that doesn't seem to be unified by anything. That's the Bet of Bereshit. Emphasized by the distinction between light and darkness, Yom Valaila, Erev Avoker, which, by the way, is the origins of the most basic pagan philosophy, which is a god of day and a god of night. Because if I see two things, they must be opposite, they must be separate. We have two forces, two powers. You have the origins of idolatry there. So what happens? We come back as the Jewish people. We come forth as the Jewish people in the Aseret HaDibrot. And we become God's people. We become Bnei Yisrael. We become a people who receive the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who are in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we then become a reflection of God's oneness in this world. Through our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become a reflection of the oneness of the world, and we start the Aseret HaDibrot with an Aleph. What's the most fundamental thing that we say every single day? Louder. Shema. Right? Shema Yisrael. Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Elokeinu. Again, personal. We have that deep relationship even in this world. Hashem. Echad. God is one. We are here to testify to the oneness of godliness in this world. That's what we're here to do. And we accomplish that through our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah does. That's what the Aseret HaDibrot do. That's what the Torah does. That's very quickly the pasuk in source number 11, without fully fleshing it out. But Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba V'Nechem Ushar. Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. The Torah is called an Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. It's an Eitz Chaim. When you look at an Eitz, what's at the top? Lots of branches going in all different directions. How do you know that they all come from the same source? What's their original source? Where do they come and unify? In the Eitz. In the trunk. The trunk unifies those disparate elements. The Torah is that Eitz. It's that unifying factor that shows us that all of the disparate elements of reality come together as one. And by us relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're reinstating, we're reflecting that oneness of God in a world of multiplicity. We become those people. By accepting the Torah and linking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't just relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we reflect the oneness that we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar says this, and I couldn't find the exact quote, but I knew it was, I've seen it in tons of Sifrei Chassidut and Kabbalah and Hashkafa. So I searched Bar Ilan for the phrase that I was familiar with, but it exists in the Zohar. I even quotes the source, I just wasn't able to look it up in the exact wording. Source number 12, quote from the Zohar. Ki oraita v'kud shabrichu v'yisrael kulhu chad hu. God and the Torah and the Jewish people are all one. By entering into that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're reinstating the oneness of the world, the Kedusha of the world, the Kedusha of reality, that it all comes back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and that it is all one. And that's why ultimately, the Aseret HaDibrot themselves, and we'll talk about this more over the next over the coming parashot as well, and this will conclude. Where did the Aseret HaDibrot find their resting place over our journeys in the desert? Where? In the Arum. They go into the Arum. The Arun, which is intentionally constructed, with two Kruvim coming up on both sides. One representing Klal Yisrael, one representing Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the two lovingly gazing in relationship with each other for all time. And what unifies them and makes those two Kruvim one? What links them together? The Aseret HaDibrot. That Dibor. The Dibrot, the Torah. That's what makes them Chad. That's what makes a Mishkan, that's what makes a Beit HaMikdash, that's what makes a reality of Kiddusha. Is a unity of all of those three things and a reflection that they are all one and the same, that oneness in this world. B'ezrat Hashem, we should be able to mekabel the Aseret HaDibrot, to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a reality of dibor, of speech, of connectivity, to bring Kedusha into our lives and into this world, and through that bring the world to its ultimate tikkun. Shkoach, everybody.